I have a word of knowledge that came to me while we're worshiping. The Lord said there are some people here this morning who feel like their lives are in pieces, fragmented. Nothing cohesive or connected. Everything seems to be disjointed. If that's you, then that song that we were singing, it says that the Lord is our salvation. The word in salvation also means sound and whole. So those of you who feel like you're living in pieces, apart, not connected, unsound, right now God is speaking to you that he wants you whole, 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 connected, not disconnected, whole in your heart, whole in your body, whole in your mind. If that's you, you need to give glory to God right now. Lift your hand to him if that was you. All right. Yes, come on. When God gives a word, I know it's true. Yes, be honest. Because when you're honest with God, he can move in your life. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise for that, Lord. You are worthy. Soundness and wholeness in the body of Christ and in every individual. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Josh. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to see you. It is. I was praying for you as I pray every day for the church, and it came to me to reflect on your lives, because I know so many of you for so long. And as I was thinking about you, there isn't a person in this or a family in this congregation that has not been or is presently in some form of trial, some issues that you're facing, struggles that you are overcoming. Would I be right in saying that everybody's dealing with something? And the Lord really impressed me, and I felt so grateful to know you, that you have stayed with it, that no battle, no trial, no circumstance, no threat of the enemy, no apparent defeat, which is not always the case, has never stopped you, never will stop you, cannot stop you, is not powerful enough to stop you. But you are faithful, and God is faithful with you. And I just want to thank you for being who you are, because you make the body of Christ what it is, an overcoming community, an organism, full of the power of God. I just thank God for you. For those of you who have not been here for some time, I would implore you to go to the website or to the Facebook page for Fellowship of Life and get the teachings that I have been sharing for the last 3-4 weeks on prayer, because the whole subject of prayer is not a one-time topic. It's not something I could teach or anybody could teach in one class or one session. There's so much to it. And the more we know about prayer, the more effective we'll be, the more powerful we'll be in our prayer life, because we need to pray. The late Leonard Ravenhill said, prayer is not preparation for battle. Prayer is battle. And I have come to realize that more intensely as I'm praying about preparing to teach you on prayer. I've been getting all kinds of assaults, right, left, up and down, because if the enemy can stop us from praying, he can stop a lot of activity in your life and in the corporate life of the church. Prayer initiates everything. It does. It is the precursor to all good success in your Christian life. Last week, we shared about the power of unanimity, of how it is so powerful that when we come together in one place, in one accord, and pray together, that God really moves on that. He loves our agreement, our togetherness. It blesses him when we're one, when we act as one, when we become the voice of many waters, which is what God wants us to be. Praise his holy name. The other thing we learned about prayer is that prayer originates in God. It was His idea, not ours. Before we came into existence, the Lord was speaking to the Lord, the Father speaking to the Son, saying, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance in the nations. You see in the beginning that the whole process of asking and receiving is the will of God. I want to say this, and I hope you can remember this little phrase. The chief purpose of prayer is the answers of God. But the conclusion of prayer is the glory to God. The chief purpose of prayer is the answer of God. But the conclusion of prayer is the glory to God. Prayer does not end with us, does not end in the answer, it ends in God. Come on. When the level of our prayer life extends as far as our own beings and uses God as some formula to achieve purposes, we have excluded Him from the chief end of the reason for prayer, which is glory to God. Why is it glory to God? Because of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. That the answers of prayer are because He answers prayer and we give Him glory. And if He does not get glory out of our prayer life, then we are of all people the most selfish, self-centered, inconsiderate of the great God who answers prayer, who made it possible for us to get answers to prayer. Because there are no answers to prayer without God's power. None, none whatsoever, never can be. We do not go out and answer our own prayers after we've prayed. God answers them. He is the power of prayer, the solution to prayer, the answer of prayer, and to Him be the glory. So I'd like to begin. I'm not going to teach long because this subject has to be a singular thought. You follow? It has to be just left in that category of prayer has a purpose, an end, a conclusion in bringing glory to God. Of course we're happy when He answers our prayers. God wants us to be happy. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that comes through praying. But the end result of the answers to prayer, I will say it again and again and again, is to lift your eyes above the answer to the God who did the answer and to glorify Him. We'll turn to John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Father gets glory for the answers of prayer that Jesus makes possible. Because His name in Him, because we go to God not just in His name like we're using a power of attorney. We go to Him, to God our Father in Christ. Our prayers pass through our lives, through Jesus to the Father. We stand there in His presence with Him. He lifted us up to the presence of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for us as the great high priest. And even as we are called to be kings and priests, we stand with Jesus, in Jesus, and that our prayers are absolutely motivated by Christ and through Christ to the Father. And then the answer comes back, and God gets the glory. You're not going to get this overnight. You're not. You're going to get it as you pray, trust God, walk with Him, He answers, you'll praise him and give him glory. Now let me give you a couple of ideas about glory. Glory is one of those words in the Bible that is used over and over and over and over. And it is best defined by the context in which it is used. By that I mean, when you see the word glory, in what context is it used? What is it referring to? I'm just going to give you quick examples. This is not a teaching on the glory of God. It's just a teaching that God must get glory when we pray. Glory, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is teaching about there's different types of existence. There's celestial beings, there's terrestrial beings, and he says there's a glory of the celestial and there's a glory of the terrestrial. And the word there translated glory that we see in the King James and other translations really means splendor, that there is a splendor of one type of creation. There's a splendor of another type of creation. There's a splendor of the sun and a splendor of the stars. So we see glory meaning one thing there. Then if you go into Revelation chapter 23, you'll see that it speaks about the glory of the sun, which is illumination. It's a different type of expression for glory. There's an illumination to this kind of glory. And I'm just giving you a couple of illustrations so that you can see that glory is interpreted in the category, the context in which it's used. When we pray about God receiving glory because he answers our prayers, we're speaking now about honor, praiseworthiness, blessing, gratefulness. You follow? All of the stimulated thoughts that cause us to worship him because of what he did. So there's a different type of glory. And this is the kind of glory that comes through answered prayers. It's a hallelujah glory. It's when God answers and you say, oh, praise God. That's giving glory to God. And if that is the beginning of our motive, oh, how much more wonderful it is. Now, I'm going to mention that there are two types of motivation for prayer. One of them is referred to in James chapter 4. It's a prayer of failure because it's a prayer of selfishness. James says this in chapter 4. He said, you ask and you do not receive. How many times have we asked and not received? Is it possible that the answer to our not receiving is what James says? You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you might consume it on your lusts. Meaning that the end of the prayer is more self-gratification than it is glorification. You follow? Our needs are important to God. Don't misunderstand me. Never has God said he will not meet the desires of your heart nor the needs of your life. It is an issue of whether the needs and desires of your life exceeds the glory of God. Because the end of it all is glory to God. The conclusion of the matter of prayer is that God gets glory. Not just that he answers you, which is amen, but beyond that, glory. And when we live soulish, carnal lives, there's no possible way that we can give glory to God. And that's the other thing I'm going to mention to you. It is inconsistent, incongruous, incompatible that we can live lives that do not give glory to God and at the same time pray to give glory to God. Can I repeat that? Yes. It is inconsistent, incompatible, impossible to live lives that do not glorify God and at the same time pray to him that he would get the glory. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 31, therefore, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It is a lifestyle. Peter says this too in 1 Peter 4. He said, if you're going to minister as an oracle of God. If you're going to speak as an oracle of God. in everything you do, ministry or anything else, give glory to God. I stand before you with one thought in my mind. I want to give glory to God in what I'm doing right now. The end result of my ministry is not only that you would get some benefit from it, but that God would get the glory out of it. That whatever is achieved in our lives as Christ is formed in us, that he gets the glory for it. And now I want to say this. If you try to be unselfish in all of your thought life, you will fail. Because flesh will not overcome flesh. Spirit only can overcome flesh. And therefore, however we live, however we pray, we pray. Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Because Jesus is in us, releasing the truth of that prayer to the Father. We do not stand there naked before the Father. We stand in Christ. And everything that we do in our lives, anything and everything, Paul said it to the Corinthians, in everything you do, in anything you do, whether you eat or drink, the lowest, simplest human activities, eating and drinking can be done to the glory of God. And when we're not living to the glory of God, how can we end up praying to God be the glory? Our lives are so inconsistent. Do you see the hypocrisy of that? I hope so. It became very clear to me that if I live carnal, selfish lives that only want to see an answer for my benefit and consume it, so to speak, on my flesh, that I have not lifted my eyes to heaven from whence comes my answers. And the person who answers them, my Heavenly Father. I'm not beating you down today, I'm lifting you up. I'm not accusing you of how bad we have been, I'm revealing that we have failed in understanding and recognizing certain truths. And the enemy wants to keep you from it so that you live prayerless lives. Lives of prayer that do not succeed, disappointed lives, and giving up lives. The enemy doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to pray right. And Leonard Ravenhill was correct. Prayer is not preparation for battle. It is the battle. We defeat our flesh, the world, and the devil in our prayer life. And we do it through Jesus Christ. This is where we are victorious in prayer. The kingdom comes through prayer. It is not a simple topic of one thing. Oh, we pray for your kingdom to come, and then we pray for other things. Everything is through the kingdom. Everything comes as the kingdom comes. That his will is done accordingly as it is in heaven here on earth. Let's pray. I was meditating on all of this business and thinking about it, and I said, what do you think, God, about us? Tell us something about the fellowship of life. And he said, you are a functioning church, not a dysfunctional church. You function because you take teaching and bring it into action, not just hearing but doing. You cannot go away today without being moved by the Holy Spirit that you are a functioning member of the body of Christ and of the kingdom of God, that you are not just a hearer but a doer, that you are learning how to pray powerfully and victoriously, and that we're going to see solutions and answers. It doesn't matter, as I've said before, I think about the smallness of our congregation in light of the greatness of the problems that the world is in. And the Lord says, that's just the right denomination. That's the way it should be. It looks like the deck is stacked against you, but oh my, I love to use the smallness of my people's prayers to accomplish the greatness of my will. Just like Gideon, 30,000 are too many. I only need 300. When we get this right in our minds, we take out of the equation of our thought life, who is me? I'm so small. We are nothing. When God says, yeah, that's right. I can use the little, the small, and those who think they're nothing. I want to use you because through you, I can get the glory. If the numbers are great all the time, the tendency is to think that we did it. But look at us. We're just where God wants us, not where the enemy brought us. I don't care what the enemy did. God uses all things to his glory, even us, so that our little numbers can become a massive solution to situations in this world. When God opened up this whole thought about governing prayers, I don't make up much, guys. I live by inspiration, revelation, creativity from the Holy Spirit. That's how I listen. God drops stuff on me, and then I test it. And he wants to teach us how to pray for the leaders of this nation from the top, the White House, all the way down to the doghouse, and everything in between. Every agency, every organization, every union, every governing principality and power that exists in this earth, all of it is covered under this prayer. We may not mention every name, but we can cover every name in this prayer. Because we're going to see God change the government of this nation. Right now, there are forces that want to destroy the United States of America and turn it into the New World Order. Have you heard about it? Have you? Does everybody know about the New World Order? New World Order. There will be no nations. There will be no boundaries. There will just be one people governed by a small group. They will control everything, your finances, your ability to come and to go, your liberties will all be controlled by the New World Order. Yep. It's on the way, and there are people in this nation who want to be part of that, who are working now to eliminate the structures that give us the freedom, the liberty, the security that this nation has known, which came to this nation through Christians. And without Christians having formed the constitution of this nation, we would not be what we are. And at the same time, and more importantly, Satan wants to get at the church. His one goal is not just a new world order, but the elimination of God's order in the earth. The elimination of the image of God in mankind. I taught on this some weeks back. If you're interested, go search through the files, get on our website, go to the Facebook. It's very important. Everything that God said in the beginning, the enemy seeks to overthrow. He wants to overthrow marriage, family, sexes, multiplication, dominance in the world, dominion. Not dominion of man, but dominion over things that be in opposition to God, to run life according to his will. I am not afraid of the new world order. The new world order must be afraid of God. God is not going to tolerate it. Amen? It is not going to happen. Why? Give me an answer. Because we're going to pray. Do you understand that? You and I hold the balance of power in prayer. Either you believe it or not. It is the truth. It is the truth. The history of the world and the history that we see recorded here in the Bible is the history of God's people interceding through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, to bring change into this earth. to let the will of God be done here, where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Will this be a total victorious situation before the Lord comes back? Probably not. But will there be an increase of the peace of God here in the earth? Yes. Will there be increased salvation? Yes. And we can live godly and peaceable lives according to 1 Timothy 2. And God wishes that all men come to the knowledge of the one true God and the Lord Jesus Christ and to know salvation. So the goal of good government is securing the peace of the people, and from our side, it is to allow for the gospel to go out and see salvations take place. Hallelujah. You know, the people of this world are getting ready for to be harvested. They are. You know why? They're living in fear. And they don't have any answers. The governments of this world want to tell them that they have answers for them. But the one true answer comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior, security, blessing, salvation. Hallelujah. 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 People are afraid. They don't like to admit it all the time, but they're not comfortable. They're not living happy lives. They're being threatened. Who can relieve them of that? Who can relieve them of that? Us. Us. I can't wait to talk to unbelievers. So a woman comes to me while I'm having lunch one day. She says, "So what's going on at your church?" It's true. And I said, "We're praying for the leadership of this nation to come to an understanding that they must have a fear of God, that they must act in righteousness, that they cannot bend the laws, nor take bribes, nor act in favor of certain people." I told her that. She said, "Yeah, that's good." I tell you the truth. That meant a lot to her because she sensed the power of that prayer. It's an answer they don't know anything about. She walked away and says, "We need that. That's good." Well, I wish I could have gone further with her. I want to see her saved and sitting here and standing here and worshiping God and giving him glory. Amen. Yes. Amen. So, there are two prayers we're going to offer up this morning. The first is going to be these governing prayers. We do not have to pray this out loud. You can pray it out loud, but let's take 5 minutes, if you have these cards with you, and just go through this prayer. When you get to that parenthetical place, turn it over, and you have the list of all the different categories that we can pray for. And when we're done, let's take about 5 minutes to pray for this, okay? You right now are going to exercise your authority in Jesus Christ. He is Lord of lords, King of kings, nobody greater. We're going to the Father of all creation, who exerts his authority over all authorities. And when we appeal to him, he says, "Yes, that's what I want. I want to see my peace come and my kingdom to come down upon these people. For his glory." Amen. Let's take 5 minutes. It's a little after 10 after 11 right now. Take 5 minutes. Pray out loud if you want. Also pray in tongues. Pray quietly, whatever you'd like. But let's do it together, okay? Amen. Are you about done? Anybody still going? You need some more time? As there was a gathering of people this morning, like every Sunday morning, to pray before the meeting starts, one of the words that came out was that the church will be like the voice of the Lord. Who was it that said that? Is it you, Ben? Was it you, Bobby? Yeah. There's a scripture, Revelation 19 and verse 6. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And the voice of a great multitude, the word their multitude is many peoples. So, beloved, we can be the voice of the Lord in this earth. There are many voices speaking out today. They are screaming for attention. They beat us over the head. They bang us on our ears. They threaten us. There's nothing but fear. The word alert. Have you noticed how oftentimes the word alert appears? A news alert, an alert, an alert, an alert. Why? Because the word alert wants to alarm you and keep you in a heightened state. It's all psychological manipulation. It is. It's intimidation, threat, manipulation. We have more to say about that another time, but here's the truth. There is a great voice of a multitude, like many waters. Whose voice is it? The voice of God's people, thundering across this earth. We cannot be shut down. You must be faithful to declare God anywhere and everywhere you can. If you're going to live to His glory, declare His glory. Father God, I pray now for every fearful, intimidating spirit that threatens the church to be quiet. In Jesus' name, we break your power and we loose these people by the blood of the Lamb. You will not be afraid to speak on His behalf. What was it that the early church suffered at the hands of the elders and the chief priests? They said, you cannot speak in the name of Jesus Christ. That was the argument. What is the argument today? They don't want to hear about Jesus. But the early church did what? Acts chapter 4. Any idea? They were all together in one place and they prayed. And they said, do you hear the things that the world is saying against your people? How they're saying to shut up, that you cannot use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Behold their threatenings, Lord. And now grant them with all boldness that they might go back out and speak in the name of Jesus and with signs and wonders. It's about time for some signs and wonders, too. Nothing captures a lost audience than signs and wonders of God. To know that our God reigns again. Ooh, glory to God. You are going to be the people that God is going to use. Like we go back to John 14. The things that I've done, greater things are you going to do. That's not somebody other than you. That's you and me. The intimidation that is put upon the church through religious intimidation, legalism, and the world coming against you has got to stop. The whole idea that that only a few people can be effective in the kingdom who might have power to do miracles is wrong. We need to see the restoration of God's power in the church. Amen? Let's pray for that. Let's pray for that right now. Let's pray for that right now. Let's pray for that right now, that God, you get glory for the lowest, smallest, simplest person, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, they would do great things. Lord, raise up Stephens and Phillips, people who serve and wait on tables to become miracle workers. Let the ordinary become extraordinary. Hallelujah. We cannot tolerate this any longer. The lost need to be saved. The nation needs to have peace. The kingdom of God must come and the church must rise up triumphant. In Jesus' holy name. God, we want a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit to baptize those in the Holy Ghost who need to be baptized with your power again. Amen and amen. And above all, Lord, there's a multitude that need to be saved. Pour your Spirit out. Convict them of sin, judgment, and righteousness. In Jesus' name, in Jesus, and reap to yourself the harvest to which you are thoroughly entitled to, and to you be the glory for it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A time has come to pass from timidity to authority, from fear to victory, from worry to love. Come on. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Sound whole minds. Like the Lord spoke earlier, remember he said there are people who feel like they're in pieces. Well, you're coming together today. The pieces are coming together. Your life is going to seem whole again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you said this is not a dysfunctional church. This is a functional church, a functioning people who live and move in the power of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Now go on, get out of here and do something for God. So, you know what I mean by that, don't you? Wherever you go, we were praying earlier, every place you put your foot, just like Joshua when he crossed over into the promised land, this is ours. Wherever you are, the kingdom of God goes with you. Wherever you are, Jesus is with you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you are, God is with you. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Lord bless you. Thank you.